can't sit here.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy today?
I was in such a rush to get ready to record that my shirt is inside out, and I just now noticed that. So my Virgo tendencies is messing with my mind right now. Not gonna change, but I'm just letting y'all know that.
Yeah, please.
I'm a hot mess right now. Yeah, like we don't want those problems.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean,
you can't tell because it's literally a white T-shirt, but I'm just saying it's bothering my senses.
At least it's not two different shoes going outside like you was 9 months pregnant. Yeah, you know, at least it's not that.
That sounds very personal, so I'm going to let that.
I mean, it's. I know it wasn't just my wife. It was a million. It's literally every pregnant woman that exists.
I have never, unfortunately, been able to experience
my wife pregnancy. My wife is not pregnant, you know, by the way. She is not pregnant. I'm just reminiscing, all right? Cool.
Yeah, because then you're going to have the comment section on fire, like, congratulations! And there's no... Funny. You know what's crazy is, I've never experienced the joy of pregnancy, but I have definitely, one, when it comes to buttoning up a jacket or a shirt, oh, I'm going to mess that up.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm going to... And it's, I think I get it from my mother. Oh. Like it's, I know it's not supposed to be genetic, but that's genetic. Cause my mother is good for that. And I do it too. Then I look and I'm like, why is the collar higher on one side?
Oh nah. And you see, that's why I get dressed in front of a mirror. Like, and so.
Don't matter.
Yeah.
I've done that too.
Thing.
Don't matter.
Like, listen, I got to align the two buttons at the top first. Even if I don't button those, and then I move down to the second, and then start from there and go down. If I get to the bottom and it's not aligned, you know, something was really happening that day.
In my mind, it's just like, you know, I'm gonna just rock with it. This is now a high-low shirt, and y'all just gonna let it be. Like that is what it is. Yo, you know what's crazy?
Go.
I don't want to make this a thing, but I'm gonna make this a thing. So we know that I take the lovely New Jersey public transit to travel.
Did you get your permit yet?
Why are you so loud? Huh? Why? I told you I was studying. I'm not.
I need you to. I need you to hear me. Like, listen. I don't need any more Jersey bus stories.
The first.
No more Jersey bus stories.
It's gonna take me a while. Okay. We've had this conversation. I am in my head. It's going to take me some time. Give me the space, please.
All right. Tell me a Jersey bus story.
But I mean, I think this is universal. If you get on the bus, right, and there are ample seats available, please choose not to sit next to me. Why? Why? This literally happened to me yesterday. Like, I was on the bus, and like, I time it, right? Because the one thing also about Jersey buses, I'm not going to hold you, is like they stick to their schedule, right? So if that bus is departing at 3:10, it's departing at 3:10.
Right.
So me being a Virgo, I'm like, all right, the bus is leaving at 3:10. This bus looks full. I like to sit by the window on a certain side. I'm going to let this bus rock so I can be on the front of the line for the next bus. Ample space. You feel me? Ample seats. Why do you get on the bus, look around, look at me and be like, she'll be a great seatmate? Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, they smell
I'm
you.
I'm not.
They smell your fancy perfume and was like, yum.
So basically what you're telling me now is I don't need to be putting on my deodorant or cologne in the morning so people can stop sitting next to me on these buses. Because I don't understand.
I mean, if they not drawn to you, your pheromones and stuff, then, you know, they're not going to sit next to you.
And then the thing about it is, it's not like they're even considerate. It's like people who sit and then want to take up a seat and a half. I understand that I'm but so big, but I like room too.
Oh,
I
that's
like
the reason. Room. That is the reason. They're like, listen, if I go sit next to somebody my size or bigger, I'm going to have an uncomfortable ride. And like, she looks small. She's small. And so that's why.
And then y'all want to huff and puff when I start moving, making myself a little bit bigger because like, you know what I mean? Like, come on. There's plenty of seats. And like, the thing about it that makes me even more upset is like, I'll look at the seat directly in front of them that is still empty. And I'm like, what now? You literally walked past an empty seat to sit next to me. Why? 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 Why?
Oh gosh. That's I mean, I know this is not something that you like ladies have to deal with, but like it's like in the bathroom. There's literally urinals. It's like you use one, there's a space, and then the next person uses the next one right after. If nobody else is in the bathroom and I'm standing at a urinal, why are you standing right next to me, sir? I just, like, I don't understand.
Like, I mean, like, you literally, like, yesterday this woman walked past two identical empty seats to sit next to me. There was two seats before you got to
me. You know what
me.
It was? I think I got her, I think I know what she was thinking. She was like, listen, they're empty, but if I go sit in that empty, somebody's going to come do what I'm about to do to her, to me. So.
But no, there was people sitting.
That's what it is.
No, but it was people sitting. It was literally identical to our situation. There's people sitting in the window
seat. It was not identical. It was not identical. The other person in those two seats were not your size. And they weren't wearing Chanel number 5 either.
Shut up. First of all, shut up. You don't know me. You don't know my life, okay? That's first and foremost. I say that to also say, I know previously I had said it was a problem with Jersey people putting their bags in the seat. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start doing that until the bus gets full. Mm. Once the bus gets full, then I'm going to take my bag out the seat and then you can sit next to me. Mm-hmm. But until that, walk your happy ass to the back of the bus too, ma'am or sir. Like, give me some space.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to get that permit. That's that. Did you do your homework? Did you do your homework?
Why are you so loud? Like,
did you do your homework? Did you listen to Kendrick yet? Did you?
I listened to his new album.
Okay.
I'm gonna listen to the one you told me to listen to. I always get the name wrong.
Good Kid, Mad City. Good Kid.
There we go. Because I want to say Good City, Mad Kid. So I'm gonna listen to that while I clean. That's gonna be my cleaning music today.
What'd you think about it? Like, he's very polarizing. A lot of people got a lot of things to say.
I enjoyed it upon first listen. I have to listen to it a couple more times to, like, really get into the nuances of the album. I know everybody's talking about Auntie Diaries.
Jesus.
Which I'm not at liberty to give my opinion on it because I'm not a part of that community.
Right.
So it's polarizing within that community in of itself.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's not crazy because it's just kind of like, again, people are not monolithic. So gay, straight, black, white, we all don't think the same.
Right.
But I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the dude is a genius, honestly. Like, nobody's as creative. Like, he's out here, like, really giving you, like, you know, Jay-Z be talking about triple entendre. This dude is, like, on next level. Like next level. Like, you listen, he's one of those, just like Jay-Z, that you're going to be listening 10 years down the road, be like, nah, that's not what he was saying all this time. I just got it.
One thing I do appreciate, because I think one of the reasons that I never necessarily got into Kendrick, and I think it's just because I'm old, to be honest. And I mean, I can appreciate good music and, like, good artists. And I told you, I can't remember the name of the song, but that one song where he dissed everybody on the track with him is, like, my absolute favorite Kendrick moment.
Yeah.
I think part of the thing, too, was I was like, oh, God, I hope he's not. Like, he seems a little Hotep-ish. And I try not to give people with Hotep-like thoughts a lot of energy.
He got a little Hotep in him, a little bit.
He definitely got a little Hotep in him, but I appreciate him saying on the album, he made mention that he caught COVID and he thought about how crazy Kyrie Irving and Dr. Sebi were. And I was like, you know what, Kendrick?
He did.
I'm going to tip my hat off to you, because a lot of people wouldn't have got on and said that out loud. Like, I faced death and y'all was telling me fruits and berries was going to make me feel better. Nah, nigga, give me that vaccine.
Nah, I really feel like he really took some time to, like, really, like, just be like, analyze his life and figure out, like, what all of this means and stuff. Like, the album definitely feels like, I'm finished. I'm done. I have no more music to give y'all. I'm going to go and focus on my life.
I know this is supposed to be, is this his last TDE album?
It is. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I think other people might know, have inklings or whatever. I didn't pay that much attention, but as far as TDE goes, yes, last album.
Because very randomly at times, a gentleman whose name on Twitter is Punch put up, like, TDE great Punch, project. Yeah. I don't follow him, but I know sometimes his tweets will come across my timeline. I'm like, why is his name Punch? But I'm not. I'm old.
I'm just going to say, like, if I lived a certain lifestyle, that's a really good nickname. Like, it really is. It really is. I like it.
It is. No, I can. It was just weird. It's just because, like, you know, you come across so many, like, Twitter handles. And I mean, Twitter handles be wild as fuck anyway. Like, they just be wild.
Yeah.
Because people just really put, you know, people are creative as all get out.
They are.
But he just comes across so often. And the crazy thing is, as often as I've seen him come across my timeline, I've never actually taken the time to go look at his, like, Twitter.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah. Anyway, Kendrick album, very good. I really need you to listen to A Good Kid, Mad City. Because that,
yeah, no.
That album, like, you get transported to Compton. And you feel like you're just there watching the whole thing happen. Right? Like, I think it's amazing. Amazing.
And that's good, because as I clean, I have neighbors that I don't really like. So as I clean, I'm going to play that at ignorant levels, and we all be transported to Compton this afternoon. So I'm glad you made that suggestion.
All right. All I'm going to need you to do, though, is get on this permit life. Yeah, we need to do it. We need to do it.
Oh, my God. I told you I got the manual and I'm studying. My goodness.
No, I'm just saying. All right. Anyway, Before the summer's out.
What's up?
Did I tell you how parenting be parenting? Jesus Christ. It's like, first of all, do you remember what you were learning in third grade math? Can you tell me, please?
Multiplication.
Simple stuff.
That's the only thing.
I think I remember.
That's because the nine multiplication table was my favorite multiplication table.
Because of September. Come on, Jade. Come on.
Not 9, 18, 27, 36, 45, 50, 40, 50, 72, 81. What? That was my shit back in the day. What?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, right. Babe.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, first of all, this math is like full-blown calculus, algebra, first of all, I have a life. If I come home and I have to figure out how to do the math before I can help my kid do the math, it's too hard. But I mean, all right, I'll leave that. That's neither here nor there. The problem that I'm having is with this damn child that I have, the older one. If I get home 8:30, mm-hmm. and at 9 o'clock you asking me to help you with your math homework, we gonna have some serious problems. Cause guess what, your bedtime is 8 o'clock. So why are you still up, sir, ma'am? Why are you still up? One, two. Why haven't you done your homework yet? I just don't understand. Like, and then I gotta go teach myself the math so that I could teach you the math. You're not getting into the bed until 10 o'clock. You can't wake up in the morning. This is not it.
I am not a parent.
I'm just saying.
But the thing that I think that always cracks me up about my friends that are parents when it comes to their children's schoolwork, homework, is part of the frustration is that you know that this part of math that they're teaching them does not apply to anything in, like, life.
I mean, I get why they do it. You know, it does teach you how to think and reason and all of that type of stuff.
But you know what? So does reading books. Like, reading books, just regular old English teaches you that too. Never have I ever sat down and had to apply a calculus problem to something that was affecting my general life. You know what I mean? Like, if I was doing something... So I think that's part of the frustration, because deep down, you know, like, yes, it teaches your child how to think.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of other things that they can teach you. There's plenty of other things that teach your child how to think, except outside of this complicated ass math problem doesn't apply to anything else.
Oh my God. Like, what I'm saying is, like, yo, I was really good at math and really good at, like, I mean, I did really well in school. They're teaching them stuff that is very different to anything that I was taught when I was a kid. And I'm not that much older than her. Like, I remember... Like,
Ryan, you're very much older. You're a lot older.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, no, I'm only 27. I was 27 when she was born.
Like, I mean, 27 years.
I'm just saying, like, it wasn't that long ago. Like, it doesn't make sense. The way that they're teaching them 18 or 19, like, steps to get to an answer that you could do in one step.
I know that I've seen, like, I don't know if they still teach these in the schools, but I've seen online, like, is it Common Core or something like that, that they were teaching kids? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it would be like 4 times 9. And instead of them just really being like, this is what this equals to, it's like 4 plus 1 plus 4 plus, and then like add it. And then I'm looking at that like, literally 9, 18, 27, 36. The answer's 36. I mean,
come on. I don't need... Come on. And the thing is, the girl knows the answers. She's very smart. She takes that from me. Tap myself on the back. Anyway, yeah. What I'm saying is, she'll just sit there and be like, the answer is such and such. And I'm like, you're going to get that wrong. They want you to show your work. And then it's just like, now we got to sit here and figure out, looking at the example that they gave, how am I supposed to apply this to this one? Like, it's a whole thing.
See? And then that's the other issue with it too, right? Is when in life had you actually had to show your work when you had to get to the answer to something? You just give people the answer, and it's either right or wrong.
All I know is that when I'm at the register, you better give me my same. You better give me my change, the right change.
That's but you it. Calculate it in your head. Exactly. You don't ask the person. You don't say, exactly. Hi, thank you so much for handing me my change. Now, how did you deduce that this is the right amount of change to give me? Like, that never happened.
I think I should actually start asking some of these people, because some of these people at the registers,
when they throw need, that cash they, register
they,
at you,
they need some help. They need some real help.
You know, I remember one time, like, I hated math, unfortunately. Again, 9 times table, 9 multiplication table was my shit. After that, it was all downhill. I used to just give people overchange. Like, I,
oh,
when
nah.
I had, like, my little,
oh, no. Nah.
Oh, I, because I was not really going to sit there to figure out. Like, especially when it was like, when it wasn't like easy numbers, like when it was like 99 cent, like I had to give you back 99 cent or 87 cents or some dumb shit like that. Here, take the $12. I don't even care because I'm not trying to figure this out. Nope, nope, nope. And no one ever said, hey, Jade, how did you get to $12? No one's ever asked me that. No one's ever asked me, how did I get to that, figure out the math answer? No one.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess, okay, I got that off my chest. And I guess this is a decent way to transition into kind of what I wanted to talk to
before
you about
today. Before we transition,
today.
Though, that parenting be parenting has me weak right now.
Like, it really,
put that on a t-shirt.
It really does,
my man
though.
Said,
it really does.
Parenting be parenting, and I am absolutely...
Make it make sense, man. Make it make like, sense. Woo, like
that right there.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
I feel you.
All right, so I wanted to talk to you, and I figure it was perfect to put it on the podcast since, you know, we have one of those, and, you know, I could go back and listen. Again, I could go back and listen.
Who gave us a podcast? We got to ask these questions.
Yeah, I figure I could go back and listen and, like, take notes if I need to or whatever, but, like, you have accomplished a few things that I am still working towards, and, you know, I figure I should, you know, ask people who has some experience that I trust.
Ew.
You know, so, hey. So, anyway, like I said, long, long ago, when I turned an adult at 18, or actually 17, like, I was forced into becoming an adult in a really strange way. I'm not going to get into that right now, but, like, it was rough. And so I had, in like growing up and heading into my 20s and like all of that type of stuff, I had put myself in a crazy amount of debt for no reason. And so I had like basically spent my entire 20s and into my 30s working my way out of all of that. And so mm-hmm. now it's like, you know, you have a wife, you have a kid, you have kids, and like, you know, you want to set yourself up for, you know, retirement and like being able to set your funds up so that you could have something to pass down when you go and all of that type of stuff. So first question, do you still feel like home ownership is the American dream?
Yes and no.
Go.
Now, it was a goal for me and was part of my American dream because growing up, it was just something that I'd always seen and something that I just always wanted to attain, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some people, it's not their dream. Some people, it's just, you know, let me rent or whatever, house hop and stack my coins differently. I never thought about, I mean, I'm not a parent. I have nieces and nephews that, you know, if I unfortunately expire before my time, that I will give these. So I have family that I would, you know, hand things over to. Mm-hmm. for me, it was important to own a home just because I have a huge family. My family consists of different factions, whatever. But my core family is my mom. And my mom has rented for as long as we've been here. And I've been blessed. My mother's we've never faced like eviction or, you know, shelters or anything like that.
Right.
But for me, seeing her pay rent, it just never clicked. Like, it just never made sense to me to be paying rent for the rest of my life. Right. And not be able to, you know what I mean? Like, do anything with that. Like, my mother's apartment is dope. She sets her apartment up lovely, but I always look at it sometimes and I'm just like, but you don't own this. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So is it the American dream for some people, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I mean, I felt the same way. And, but like, it's just like, you know, looking into a lot of things. Like, first of all, there was a lot of things in my life where I was just like, I don't know if that's for me. I don't have any experience seeing this and all of that. And so I was just like, whatever, like marriage. I thought I was never going to get married. Never. And, right. Until, you know, you meet the right person. And then one day I woke up and was like, yo, I'm going to marry this person. Like, and I don't know what that reason was, but it's just like in my head, it just kind of clicked. Right. And so, you know, home ownership, we're West Indian or whatever. A lot of West Indians come to America and they want you to be lawyer, doctor, engineer, or something like that, and own a home or whatever. This is like wealth because a lot of people in a lot of these other countries and stuff don't trust the banks and all that. And so this is a good place to put your money. I have seen home ownership, but I've also seen people lose those homes and all of that. And so it's a thing that I was very like iffy about in my younger life. But like as I've gotten older and now I'm married and I have kids and I'm constantly thinking about what I'm gonna leave for these kids and all of that, like home ownership definitely seems to be something. But we are living in 2022 and I was looking last year when, you know, rates were at an all-time low and all that. But, like, people, literally everybody had the same idea. Everybody had their stimulus checks. People were coming in, paying way over the ask for stuff. And so you would put down offers on homes and be outbid by $1 million. I'm exaggerating, but, like, be outbid and people paying in cash and, like, all that. So, it was not good for my mental. So I had slow down on my search.
Let me tell you something. You know, the home buying process is not for the weak because it will have you questioning
life,
everything. Yes. Like it will have you questioning. And I mean, the reason I chose home ownership for myself versus renting was New York rent prices to me are just absolutely ridiculous. And it was cheaper for me to own a home, to pay a mortgage towards potentially owning something than paying rent for an apartment that would have been a fraction of the size of my current apartment.
Right.
But when I tell you, so I started my home buying process in 2019. Yeah, I'm going to say 2019. And that's when the market was actually like a beautiful time, right? Like rates were low. People weren't really house hunting. Like it was just, you know, there was properties available.
Right.
I caught cold feet a couple of times because it's a huge responsibility, right? Like you get to a certain point and they're like, all right, so they want your, you know, they want your little deposit. They want your little here. Like, yeah, I want this. Like I'm gonna put this down. And I'd be like, yeah, no, let me just keep licking. Let me just keep licking. So, you know, 2019, I took a year off basically and was like, I'll start again because like I caught cold feet so many times. And I got lucky because I found my apartment like literally right before everybody started going crazy. Mm. Like this was right when like we were still in the middle, it was still COVID, but this was in like the first time COVID restrictions had gotten lifted. So like I could actually go see properties because for a moment there, like you couldn't even like realtors couldn't even really show you properties. Right. Like you have to be all virtual.
Right.
And I had actually looked at other properties and I was actually putting in an offer in someplace else. And then my current apartment was on the market. Came, then I saw it and I was like, all right, bet this is it. I want it. Like make the deal. You know, I told my realtor, make the offer, like, so that it can't be denied or whatever. And I was like, I think I was like the first offer in. And the week after me, like the week after I put my offer in and it was accepted, was literally when I watched and I heard my friends like, yo, this market is crazy. Like, literally, it was like
complete dumpster fire.
Complete pandemonium. And like, my realtor is actually a friend of mine who went to my high school. And see,
I didn't even know that. Like, I know her. I know her. We've spoken.
She's somebody that, so it's funny enough, she's younger than me. We didn't go to school together and I didn't meet her until after school, like years, actually until I was ready to start the home buying process, because she had made a comment on my best friend's Facebook page. And when I was ready to start the process, I just had some questions. And I was like, hey, like, I saw that you do this. And, you know, I would love to talk to you about this because I'm not quite sure, like, how to get started.
Right.
And from that, a friendship grew. So I don't want to make it seem like, you know, she and I are, like, right, been friends for 27 years. We basically became friends through this process.
Right.
And so she would come to me, like, we would be talking about, like, my offer and, like, what was going on. And she would come to me and be like, I literally just put in an offer for someone. And then someone came in after them and, like, offered $100,000 more in cash. Like,
crazy.
Like, the market has gone absolutely batshit. And according to, like, her, like, even talking to her, a part of it is there's not enough inventory. And, like you said, everyone had the same idea,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, even now, like, even though the market has kind of cooled down a little bit, like, if I wasn't happy at my apartment, I'm sure I could list it and probably have people come in and offer me a ridiculous amount of money for this apartment.
Yep.
And I could be like, all right, let me flip this and blah, 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 blah. But it's the home ownership is not for the, it's not for the weak. It's like trying to get through that process because you have so many things on your mind that like you don't feel, even when your offer is accepted, you don't feel comfortable until you actually have the keys in your hand.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like every day, even though I knew my offer was accepted and we were under contract and like it was just smooth sailing, like it was just, you know, everything had to take place.
Right.
I was a fucking nervous wreck. I wasn't spending money. Like, I was, like, nervous about everything because in my mind, like, something was going to happen that would, like, take this apartment away from me.
Right.
Even though I'd prepared myself for it.
Yeah. It was, I definitely had to take a break because the ups and downs of that, especially, like dealing with coming out of, like I told you guys, the, biggest depression of my life, and it was just like the ups and downs of it. Like, it's, oh my wild. Gosh, this is my house. I'm putting an offer in. Okay, we're gonna put
you
in this.
In love with
and then
so
I'm like,
many properties.
Oh my god,
you will literally fall in love with so many properties, and you will see yourself. Like, you will be in that apartment or that house, and you will see yourself. Like, I'm coming home from work, kicking off my shoes over here. I'm gonna do this and. And then you're like, so what's good? Like, did they take my offer? And then it's like,
your
realtor has the heartbreaking job of being like, so someone else came in. But, and it's just like.
Yo, one of the houses that I really, really, really wanted, I put in my offer. We were like, we cannot lose this house. We were like, listen, realtor, give them $27,000 more than they're asking for. Put the offer in. And so I drive home like, yo, we getting this because people have outbid us. People have outbid us just the same way. I'm about to do this to somebody else. Whatever. Get home. Realtor calls me. She's just like, yeah. So I spoke with the listing agent and they got 60 something offers on this house. And your offer was smack dab in the middle. I was like, I can't afford to give you any more money for this house.
Like,
and so, like, you know, I'm going to have to lose this. But 60-something offers on a house and my $27,000 over asking was in the middle. Can you imagine?
People were going crazy and still are going. First of all, people are doing things to their own detriment in order to secure these properties, whether it's waiving inspections, like all kinds of things that like you should not do because like,
right. Right.
It's going to end up costing you more in the long run.
Yes.
Like, when I tell you I am, because I'm not built for it. I'm not, we're not going back and forth. Like, I'm not built for that. Like, no. I want what I want. I want it now. Like, no. I took my pause before people was even overbidding, you know, like putting crazy offers. Like it was competitive, but it was a buyer's market, right? Yeah. So there was like ample things and like there was enough property.
Yeah.
Y'all that are going through it now. Hats off to you, because I am not.
So I'm thinking of like throwing my hat back in the ring. Like I did say that I have my down payment and like all of that ready, just sitting in a, first of all, having a savings account that is not high yield is trash. Wild. It's trash.
Yeah, that's just,
is trash.
That's just, if you don't have one, like get one. American Express, Vance is going to bleep that. Has a great account, savings account, high yield savings account. Probably not the best now in comparison to other places.
Obviously,
but when I started, it was très magnifique.
So we're gonna have to talk about that too, because but like yeah, just have the money just sitting there. Like, but like now the rates are going up. There's like very little inventory again, but I do feel like the bottom is going to fall out of all of what's happening right now.
Oh.
And so
I say, honestly, within the next year or two, I wouldn't be surprised if we're not like, because people, one thing I told my realtor was like, I wanted to stay within a certain budget because I didn't want to be house poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I knew I could take out, I could have gotten a much larger mortgage and like balled, like I was. Like, I didn't have no sense.
Right, right.
But I didn't want to be house... Like, I wanted to make sure that whatever financial responsibility I was putting on myself was something that I would be able to maintain, because I am doing it by myself. Right, I don't have... Right. You know, I'm a single woman with a good job. And, I need to make sure that I can maintain that for as long as possible.
Right.
And a lot of people are not moving like that. A lot of people are like... What? Give me this. Da-da-da. And they're buying properties that they cannot afford.
Yeah.
Which means there will definitely be a whole lot of
foreclosures,
freshly renovated foreclosed homes coming to the market sooner rather than later, because the banks are definitely not going to wait like they used to in the past to take properties back from people. Like, oh, you thought you were, you're not, you don't have this. Okay. It's ours now. We're going to sell this back.
So, I mean, that is why I took a break. And then it's like, you know, I'm thinking of getting back into it, but I'm like, is this the time now? Like, I don't feel like, I keep hearing all of these things about like, you know, the bottom is going to drop out and people are going to start foreclosing and all of that. And so I'm like, do I do myself a disjustice, like forcing through something that I can get now rather than trying to get something in a year or two and be put in a space where, you know, I is in a better space than I would if I did it right now? That's the question. Like, you can't predict the future. That's the problem.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you testing the waters now. Right? Because the reality is, while the market is absolutely crazy, there's always a possibility of like that dream property that's within your range, and like you know what I mean? Like, there's always that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's wrong for you to necessarily want to test the waters, but I think you would test the waters knowing that this still may not be the time.
Right.
And if you know that you can mentally handle that, because you're still going to see things that you love, right?
Right.
But if you know that mentally that's just going to take you to another place again, then I would definitely give yourself the space.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is, right, also, like, you got to make sure your credit is in a specific place, right? And, like, the last time I was doing all the looking and all that, like, I had to get a few pre-approvals, you know, that's a hit on your credit. But, like, when you do them all within the same amount of time, then, you know, it makes... Not that big of a deal.
It doesn't impact.
Right. And so, but now, like, you have to get new pre-approvals every 3 months, I believe it is, or so. Right. And then that's another hit on your credit every single time that you keep trying to do that. And this process is not like, oh, I got a pre-approval and I got this house in the next week or two. Like, that's not how it works. No. And
no, it takes time. So it definitely takes time.
There's a whole scenario there that, you know, how many times should I be hitting my credit for for a pre-approval?
I mean, I think if you test the waters, we're planners, right? Like, that's the thing about Virgos are, we're planners, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if you say to yourself, like, I'm giving myself, I've been at this home ownership, home buying game for a year now, and I just kind of want to see what's going on. And you say, all right, so at one point, I believe I was told that, like, the winter months are probably, the summer months are not the, is it the winter?
Winter, because no, everybody wants to move in the summer, and like in the winter.
That's what it is.
In the winter, everybody's like already back at their job, and like kids right. are back in school and stuff, so.
So I think, you know, like, come up with your plan. Like, you know what? I just kind of want to see what's out there.
Yeah.
Right? And if you give yourself that window, because honestly, you know, by the second month, if you're not seeing anything that you like, that is just, it's null and void. You know what I mean? Like, it's null and void. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know that if within that second month, if you're just kind of like, well, this shit is just for the birds. You're not going to want to put yourself through that again. You know what I mean? So then you come up with a different game plan, but you say, all right, this summer was not the summer of home ownership for me. So now I'm going to take a break and I'll start back in January or February or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? To give yourself that break.
Right.
I gave myself a year just because, you know what it is? It's I saved up. Like, I took the time. Like, I knew that I wanted to buy a house or buy a home. And I had wanted to get my credit together and all that stuff. And I had to start actively saving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actively saving. I had my deposit. I had everything. But when it came to making the offer, like knowing how much it was going to cost at the end and knowing how much of a hit my savings account was going to take, when I tell you fight or flight took place and I flew, like, I was like, I'm not even fighting for this. Like, we going to give me another year.
Yeah. It's a thing because, like I said, it's been a crawl. I've been scraping my way to where I am right now. And, you know, I'm building my emergency fund. I'm like building my, you know, house savings fund and like all these different funds. Every time money comes in, it basically everything is allocated elsewhere. Whereas in the past, all that money was allocated and over allocated. And I wasn't like, I was just struggling.
Right.
Yes. Now I'm able to pay my bills and save and do all of those things. So I feel like I'm blessed in that way. But still, it's not as easy to find something that you want, regardless of how much you make or what, like how much you have,
no,
and like all of that.
Honestly, unless you have a blank check where you could walk up to somebody and be like, "I will give you 50, you know, 100,000 over it, like cash. It's a cash offer. You could deposit this right now."
right.
It's not. It's literally not easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's, and I mean, I think one thing people need to realize about home ownership is it doesn't stop at once you buy the house or once you get the property,
mm-hmm.
right? Because another reason I live in a condo, like I bought a condo because, again, not to belabor this point, but I am a single woman. when it snows, I am not shoveling. when it is, you know, I'm not doing none of that. And yes, I understand I can pay people to do these things, but that's an added expense on top of already having a mortgage and property tax that you have to pay every month.
Oh, okay? Gosh. The property tax is what people don't realize is going to be the killer. Because really, you'd be like, oh, this house is actually a pretty decent price. And then the taxes.
Like, property tax be another $100,000. You'd be like, wait a minute.
No. Now, you got to think.
I got lucky there, too.
The taxes, at the end of the day, once you finish paying off that mortgage, you still got to pay those property taxes. Even after you've already paid off your house, you're still paying a mortgage basically with your property taxes. So this is just something to think about.
There's property tax. There's all kinds of things. So like, again, I chose a condo because it came with like
amenities,
property management. It also came with property management.
Right.
So like, for example, one day over the summer, you know, I had my AC running in my bedroom, minding my business. Some, you know, it's hot, like the apartment cool. Came into my bedroom right in front of my rug was soaked.
Mm-mm.
Soaking wet, like flood. And I'm like, now what is this?
That's why you have to have an emergency fund, guys. Oh, gosh.
I called. But see, good thing for me, for someone who lives in with a property management, I called the building and I said, my radiator, my unit is leaking. It's water everywhere. I don't know what's happening.
Right.
They sent the superintendent of the building. And apparently, like, during the summer, because so many people are home now, like, there was some sort of backlog. They fixed it. They went on about their business. And that wasn't of an additional cost to me because it's a unit within the building.
Right.
But if it were something serious where, you know, my unit itself was like really broken and I needed to replace something in order to get it to fully function.
Yeah.
Then that's my fiscal response. Like, that's my financial responsibility.
Right.
Versus if you rent, you know, you call your landlord and they'll come and the building has to figure it out. I would have to figure it out.
Right.
And that's, I think, something that people don't realize is this stuff that comes up after you buy the house, after you buy the apartment, that you got to be mindful of. Again, if I had a house, this would have been something I would have had to find a contractor or somebody to come and like fix my AC unit. Yes, I have a savings, but I'm cheap. I'd have been like, now somebody slap some tape on this and like, let me just crack open these windows with some screens. We just not using the AC all winter because I just bought this house. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this is like real facts though. Like, people have to deal with these type of things. And especially if you've been renting your whole life, like, these are not things that you immediately think about. So I'm happy to have friends and people that actually have purchased and have been, you know, preparing me with all of the things that, you know, you're going to have to pay for even after you've paid all of your money towards your mortgage and all of that type of stuff. So yeah,
something super,
I get it.
Superficial, like super superficial. The seasons are changing. You know, you live in an apartment building. Your landlord will hire window washers to come. You know, the building hires window washers to come clean your windows so your shit's all sparkly and the birds be flying in your shit because
it's so sparkly.
I got to hire somebody to come wash my windows. You know what I mean? Like, and I found somebody, but like, I didn't even think about that before. Like, I thought it was something that I would kind of be able to maintain myself.
Right.
Until like, looked at my window. I'm like, yo, it's mad dusty. Like, this window dirty as hell. Now I got to find somebody to come and clean all of my windows.
You mean you're not going to scale the building and then descend down to your window and then like, you know, squeegee the window yourself? You're not going to do
that? But I'm not going to hold you that I definitely was looking at buying one of those super long squeegee thingies that you could, because even though I'm on like the fifth floor in my building, technically it's the second floor. No, it's the third floor technically, like however this building is set up. So, like, I was downstairs, like, outside, like, looking up, like, now, if I got one of those really long ones, would I be able to just put some solution? I can't. So, I'm going to hire this gentleman in the next couple of weeks. I'm taking some trips in the next couple of weeks. When I come back from my trips, like, and it's time for me to do my little summer refresh of my apartment, I will hire this gentleman to come clean my windows. But I never thought about having to pay somebody to clean my windows.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'll give it some thought. I really don't see that this year might be the year, but I will try after everybody has gone back to school and see what happens.
I would definitely wait until at least next winter.
Next winter or this winter coming?
2023.
Until 2023 next winter? Jesus. Do you know I live in a house with three people with vaginas? Did you know that?
I did. I mean, it's not as far as you think it is. It's not as far as you think it is.
Oh my God. I got to get out of here.
It's not as far as you think.
I need space.
But it's not as far as you think it is. That's the thing. It's not as far as you think it is. And I think just to see what happens with the market, because listen, right now everything's at an all-time high. Interest rates is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Gas prices is high. Like, everything is high right now.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion. Is to at least just to see how things up, because this summer could be the summer that changes everything.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying though, because like I could literally go crazy. You could literally see me on TV just randomly walking in the middle of a highway somewhere. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well,
like,
let's not do that.
It's a thing.
Okay,
like,
so let's not do
it's
that.
Too much.
I mean,
too
but again, much. If you want to test the waters, then definitely test the waters.
Oh,
I think
God.
Definitely test the waters. But I just think this is the summer. I think this summer is going to be a summer where like. It's literally either shit is going to hit the fan and everybody's going to be like, fuck it, nobody's paying bills and everything is just a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Or like things will start to make sense. You know what I mean? Like start to make sense again for everyone.
Yeah, I've been looking into house hacking and stuff. Like it's actually something that I think I probably might end up doing. It's not exactly what I thought I was going to do, but house hacking, for those that don't know, you buy a multi-family property, you live in it, and you rent the rest out to others, and because
that's my plan,
because you're living in it, you get like you get a lot of the perks of not having to spend, what is it, the put the 20% down, I think, that you have to put down. Right. If it's an investment property, you can just put down your regular 3 to 5,
and if you have the right realtor, if you have the right realtor too. I mean, like, I didn't put down, Lord knows I didn't have 20% to put down on. If that were the case, this conversation would be much different. I'd be like, rent till you can't rent no more. But house hacking is my next. That's in my Jade's 5-year plan.
Yeah. I just feel like
my next property.
Yeah. I feel like it's a good idea because it's like, you know, you do that 1 or 2 times, 3 times. Like, by the time you get into the house that you are going to be like, oh, yes, this is my dream home or whatever, you have 3 investment properties, 2 investment properties. I have 2 kids. Ideally, I would have 2 investment properties to be like, listen, I can leave that to them.
Choose which one y'all love. Leave me out of it.
That's what it is. But like, I'm going to say this now. I'm not paying for their college. They feel like they want to go to college. They got to figure out how to get scholarships, scholarships and all of that to figure out how they're going to make it happen. But I will set something up where I can leave them investments. So that, you know, all right, this is setting you up for your future.
Right.
You chose to go to college. You figure out how to pay for it. At the end of the day.
I'm not upset at that. I'm not upset. College is expensive for no damn reason.
No reason. So, no reason.
And so I'm not upset at that. I'm not upset at that plan. My 5-year plan includes me getting, I think, 1 or 2 investment properties at most. And I think I want a commercial property in there. Mm. But nothing in New York, because I can't afford New York and New York commercial property prices yet. Maybe when I get older and I meet my billionaire husband. Because I keep telling y'all, my destiny is this life that we're currently living, me and my friends, is not for us. And I feel like I'm the way out. And the way I'm out is by marrying a billionaire.
That's you and your friends got money to spend, you know, so.
Yeah, I have money to spend. I just don't want to spend it. I would much rather spend somebody else's, to be quite honest. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to be 100% honest, like, that's my end game.
Yeah, I hear that.
But I say all of that to say that my plan is to do that and move to the countryside of London.
God, we're not doing that again. You want me to come for my tomato? I'm not doing that.
You can come sit in my garden in the countryside.
So, I mean, real quick, I guess this has been going a little longer than I thought it was going to go. But, like, you are blessed to work at a place where people make the money, like money long. Mm-hmm. They money real long, right? I'm pretty sure I don't know what kind of retirement stuff you have set up. I'm thinking about all of that. And so as far as retirement investing and things like that, any ideas, tips that you've learned along the way that you can share with us?
Now, I'm not a professional. So,
oh yes, disclaimer. This is not financial advice for y'all.
This is not me giving anybody financial advice. I have a financial planning friend myself that she gives me all my financial advice, and I do talk to people.
Oh, I need to meet her. I need to meet her.
I will definitely make that introduction. But I think if you have just a basic savings plan, great. But you do need to open up, if you do not have it through your job, your own 401k.
Okay.
Ideally a Roth 401k.
Mm-hmm. Explain for those that don't know what a Roth 401k is.
Basically, in the simplest of terms, it's literally a retirement savings plan. But it's usually done with, I believe it's pre-tax dollars. So the money that sits in there is not taxable. Like when you finally decide that, okay, I've retired at the legal retirement age, the government won't say, oh, you had this nice chump change sitting here. Half of it is mine, bitches. That won't happen. And what is
so that means you're being taxed before it goes in.
Before
it ends. And so that when you take it out later, you don't have to pay any taxes on
they
it.
They don't. The only time they'll tax you on, the only time you may run into some issues is if you withdraw money from it early. But there's ways around that. Like, for example, if you had a Roth 401k or if you had some sort of retirement savings plan and you needed help with your down payment for a home, you could take out a loan from your 401k.
And repay yourself.
You have to pay it back.
Yeah.
But you're repaying yourself, but they won't tax you on it, right? Which is in itself, you know.
I actually didn't know that, actually. That might be some. I didn't know that. Because I could keep more liquid cash if I do that.
Yeah, you can definitely take out a loan on your 401k. I mean, you have to pay it back, obviously.
Right.
But you can definitely take out a loan. Certain loans, especially if you come across hardship, let's say, like you obviously, they only allow you to take out a certain amount too,
right.
Like based off of what, how much you have in your account.
Right.
So it's not like you can be like, all right, I got 100K, put that offer in, 100 over. That's not going to happen. They're not going to let you wipe out that account. But I would definitely always recommend. And I think the thing that people, and this is coming from someone who, even though I work in finance, I, for all intents and purposes, especially compared to the people that I work with, I'm poor. Okay? I am poor. My money is not as long as those people.
Listen,
I'm poor.
Listen.
So I think a common misconception that people have is that in order to fund these accounts, it has to be with like large amounts of money.
Right.
It doesn't have to be large amounts of money. Right. If you know that your paycheck, you can only spare $50 a month from your paycheck to go into your Roth 401k. I would highly recommend you doing that because mm-hmm. you will see a great return on it. Because what essentially happens is that money is not just sitting there. It's not like a high yield savings account where like a bank is like, okay, here's 15 cents for that $50 that you just got. What essentially happens
that'd be so annoying. Oh gosh. Anyway,
you're put into like a larger pot and like your money's being invested into different indexes and shit like that, right? So you'll see growth even if you're not putting in a lot. Like I don't even put in. I'm blessed because my job, number one, matches, right?
That's so like a every big year part. Once you
every year it match. I'm not even maxing it out. Every year somebody tells me to max it out and every year I run from the free money because I think about my paycheck. I'm instant gratification. I think about my paycheck now.
Right, right.
And I don't know that I want to see that. I understand when I retire, that's going to look great. But today, right now, I want to see that I want to see it.
I mean, you could definitely start like less risky and I mean, yeah, less, I guess, what is the word that they use? Anyway, you could always add to your
I was supposed to add this year and then I caught cold feet. 2023, I'm definitely going to increase it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because every year, again, my company does match, right? So I am leaving a lot of money. I'm leaving a lot of free money on the table, which I completely understand.
Right.
But I don't put in a lot of money, but my 401k outside of the match because of the investments that the Fidelity is making looks really fucking good.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like,
nice.
Now could I retire on it today? No. But if we keep the trajectory, like when it's time for me to retire, I should be okay. You know what I mean? Like I should be good.
Right.
So I would highly recommend if you do not have a 401k or some sort of other savings mechanism outside of like a high yield savings account to totally do that on your own. You don't need to have a job in order to open up a Roth 401k. You can open one up with, there's a lot of banks that offer them. Sign up, do it. Let them take that money from you monthly and just watch that grow over the years. Now, I have a colleague, and I'm not going to be too long-winded with this, who is like a genius when it comes to like investing, but he's also like a multimillionaire, so he can afford to be risky.
Right.
He told me, if for anyone that's interested in getting into investing early, because I was like, I want to make money, like. And he looked at me and he was like, I mean, okay. Then I told him I wanted to make money and he was like, all right, so you want to like, you got 50K that you can, and this isn't even Arvin. This is like a person that I legit trust.
Arvin.
was like,
oh boy, guys, like, you guys can't miss an episode. You can't miss an episode. You don't know who Arvin is. You got problems. All right, continue.
He was like, if you can put up 50K to do XYZ, then you're serious about investing. And I was like, hey, so we're in like four different tax brackets, right? So like you're in like these three and I'm like here. So like that 50K is just not gonna. And so he told me the safest place to start is to do like ETFs and REITs.
Right? ETFs and what?
REITs, like real estate investments.
Right. Okay.
So basically REITs are basically you buy into like different larger properties.
Right.
But you're like you're a part of like a larger investment
group.
Right. Right. So which is what I started doing, and I've seen like nice little returns. I am Caribbean. I know I don't sound it. I mean, I do believe in banks. Investing is just, it's still to me something that's a little like, so I'm supposed to put my money here and trust that it's just going to bloom. But then when it don't bloom, like nobody's giving me my money back. Like nobody's going to be like, pull out. So I am very like, I'm very risk adverse. Like we're not doing that.
Right.
But that's why I started. The funny thing is I asked him about before like crypto has done whatever crypto is going to do. I asked him about like, how do I get started in that? He literally, and this is a person who does this for a living, was like, don't.
Yeah, it's quite volatile. Ups and downs, like that will cause people to commit.
He was like, if you're trying to like save, he was like, start safe. And then like, you know, here and there, if you see something that you like and you can afford that risk, fine. But I mean, he definitely was telling me like, because I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of want to get into like this crypto thing, but I'm not really trying to, I don't got $37,000 for a share. And he was like, no. He was like, no.
I mean, you don't have to buy an entire Bitcoin today.
I know, but I just feel like, in order for it to make sense, like you got to put in some like real money. You know what I mean? Like you can't just be like, all right, let me buy $100 worth of crypto just for you to get $150.
Funny thing is, like I was introduced to Bitcoin when I was like 20 years old. We're talking about well over a decade ago. And it was quite affordable for me to buy multiple Bitcoins. Didn't do it. Didn't understand it. Didn't make any sense to me. Like, and I was broke and poor. And so it was just like, at the end of the day, if I had done that then, it would have been a problem.
Millionaire. Understood. I mean, completely understood.
The issue that I have with that, though, there's a lot of people that invested back then. Because right now we have like wallets and stuff that are a lot easier to understand where your money is and take the money out and all that. Back in the day, your wallets like was a complete, like you had to have a hard drive, a separate hard drive. You had to have it set up and like the coin, like the passwords and all of that to get into it. Like
Netflix about this man who ran the biggest wallet in Canada. Mm-hmm. For Bitcoin, mm-hmm. And he mysteriously died.
Oh, I know. I heard it.
Billions of dollars of people's money.
I don't know if he's really dead, though. I don't think he's really dead.
That's the thing. That's the crazy thing is this documentary is supposed to put that to rest. And like you talk to his wife and his mama, and I'm looking at them like something milk ain't clean because y'all don't seem too torn up about this man allegedly dying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Under mysterious, all of a sudden he got stomach pains.
Random. Yeah.
And you just happened to go to India and get stomach pains like you ain't never been to India before.
Oh
like,
man. Yeah. Crazy. But like there's people from back then though that have Bitcoins that they can't remember or figure out how to get into the money.
See what I'm saying?
And so there's only a certain amount of times you can do it before it just completely locks. And if you put in that wrong password, like whatever, there's people on their ninth password.
I just know that like for me, I'd heard about Bitcoin. I never cared enough to learn about it because I was just kind of like, I don't want invisible money. Like I just, because in my mind, it just wasn't making, the math wasn't mathing to me.
I mean,
you know, you hear, oh, people became millionaires and billionaires and all that. Like you're a Bitcoin billionaire, which is great in theory.
In theory, yeah.
But I feel like, you know, the big dogs are not going to let it get to the point where, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden,
right.
This is like a centralized, which, I mean, look what's happening now. Like, yeah. They're like, yeah. Y'all got a little too comfortable. Y'all was talking all this nonsense. Let's pull it back a little bit.
Right.
And now people are, you know, scrambling. But those are my two things.
I just want y'all to know that Jhené has like this amazing view of Manhattan behind her. It's like I mean, every time you think you're living the life, you just got to look at other people's scenarios and be like, I have a little bit more work to do in my life. All right, continue.
No, sorry. It's first of all, I do have an absolutely, this is what sold me on the apartment. Because I was walking around. First of all, I'm not even going to hold you. When I was house hunting, I have like champagne taste and my budget was water. Like, and I'm not talking Poland Springs 12 pack at Dwayne Reed. I'm talking tap. Like, that was my budget. And I was looking at places and getting prices and I was like, oh no. So anyway, when this came on the market, I was like, yes.
Anyway.
But I think, I mean, yeah. the most important thing is, get a 401k, and I believe there's, even if you don't have it through your job, the government allows you to put in a certain amount where you can max like how much you can put into your 401k annually, and that becomes like a good tax write-off for you.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to definitely need your friend's number because I'm going to need to add the fact that I have a financial planner. Like, just that part alone puts me in a different bracket right there. You know,
she's amazing. She's my financial planning bestie. And she's my ride or die. Like, she started with me like when I was first, I told you before, I was going through this through like NACA or whatever.
Right.
Which, I mean, hats off to y'all, but y'all make that process way too complicated. And like, it's just, no. But she helped me look at my finances in a way that, one, I mean, you're able to, like, you're saving now, but she got me, like, I was saving so aggressively that it was, like, at a point where she was like, why are you saving so much money? But I was, like, paying bills on time, like, credit score was shooting up. So she got me together.
Yeah.
And so I definitely recommend if you can find, it doesn't have to be, I mean, banks offer it too, but I think what works for me and Ty, that's her name, shout out to Ty.
I'm going to call you Ty.
Is that she speaks to me in a way that I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she breaks it down to me in a way that I can understand.
Right.
Versus like these other people come at you and they start talking about shit and you're like, am I paying my bills on time or what? Or not? Like, what are we doing? Like, how does this? So I definitely think it's important for you to get somebody who can help you understand. Also, like the different options that are out there for you in terms of savings. She is not an investment planner. Let me give you that caveat too. She's purely financial. She can give you resources, but she's more so, and I definitely recommend if you can afford to find someone that can help you look at your money differently.
Right.
Game changer.
Gotcha. All right. So I think we definitely went longer than I thought we were going to go, but I think this is good information for anyone. Again, we are not financial planners. No. So just like, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Take it with a grain of salt.
And do what you got to do for you and figuring out what works for you. So.
Yes, sir.
But don't think that I forgot. I don't think that I forgot Jhené, today with a J, last week on the internets, on this here podcast, you said that you had an interest in dating again. And I know people came back listening and we here talking about a bunch of nonsense when they really want to know what's going on with you. So please indulge us, please, please.
I think your girl's ready for the streets.
Ready to get flued out?
I'm ready to get flued out. I think your girl's ready to start entertaining these men and getting flued out again. I took a break.
Hmm.
I was never really serious about it. I would dabble here and there.
Interesting.
And I would never really get, you know, serious about things, talk to a couple of gentlemen, ghost them. I'm the queen ghost. I'm so sorry if you come across this podcast and you're somebody that I have ghosted in the past. It is me. It is not you. I apologize, man. Sincerely. But your girls, I think I'm ready for the streets.
And what brought you to this realization, Jhené?
You know what? See, now you're going to make me really think about it. And I'm going to be like, maybe I'm not ready for the streets. Maybe it's just because the weather's changing and I just want to be outside. But no, honestly speaking, I don't know. I just feel like it's time. Like, I feel like if I don't start actively putting myself out there again, that I will, I'm super comfortable by myself, which is not a problem, but it's a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So if I don't actually start making a plan now to invite someone into my life, then I really am just going to be the single fly dope rich auntie that just pops up in places with a harem of men, which is not a problem per se. Because, I mean, that could still be the end game. But your girl thinks she's ready to start. You know, I might, I don't, the thing is, a lot of these apps make you want to, they ask you to like pay for like all these extra things so you can actually like kind of see what's there. And I've never really paid for any of them because I'm like, if he's going to find me, he's going to find me. But I might indulge and like sign up for like a monthly on like one or two just to kind of see what's out there and like go on some dates. You know what I mean? Like,
interesting.
I got to start talking to men again, unfortunately.
So you're going to find
because it's been brought to my attention.
You're going to find you with Cletus.
A Cletus. you know, it could be some Daytwans in there.
Oh, interesting.
You know, your girl's kind of an open book right now. Like before, I was very regimented on like, you know, what my type was and what I was looking for. And there's still, you know, it's, I'm not going to get too specific because I don't need y'all in my comments talking. But I might be revisiting a certain sector of men that I had at one point was like, I'm not fucking with y'all. I might invite y'all to the streets with me.
Should I make like a personals ad and put it on our Instagram for you?
Let us not do that because I'm already anticipating the problems that I'm going to get on my own. I don't need it amplified on our socials, please. Because
interesting,
I'm not going to hold you. I'm excited, which I've never really been excited before. Like I'm just kind of like meh because I feel like it's always expected for women to want to date. Or like seek significant others. But I'm really trying to be like messy, but in like a fun way. Do you know what I mean? Like I want to have a nice, fun, messy relationship.
What does that even mean? I have no
idea.
I
want the drama. My friends always tell me I read too many fucking romance novels, which they are probably right. But I want the drama. It's dry. Like right now, you know, the life is dry right now. I need some excitement. I need somebody that's going to bring me some razzle dazzle.
Okay. Interesting.
I've been, you know, like I want to shock some man's system. Like they're going to be like, what do you want to go on your first date? And I want to be like, meet me at Tiffany's. You know what I mean? Like, this is what,
that's the time you won. Oh, okay. I see.
This is, I'm on this. Demon time is different than everybody else's. That's the demon time I'm on.
I see.
Jada, where do you want to meet on our first date? You know what? Chanel has an absolutely beautiful boutique on 57th and 5th Avenue between Madison and Park. Let's meet there. Let's meet there. If you so deem, I can even give you my sales associate's name and you can just tell her that you're there for me and then she could just show you what I have on my wish list.
So what you're saying is you're not serious. That's what you're saying.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Let me tell you something.
Well, you're going to keep us up today.
I'm going to tell you how serious I am. And then we're going to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
One time when I was serious about dating, I met this lovely gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a date. Afterwards, we went to Saks. We walked around. I told him there was a bag that I liked. It wasn't even like big designer, but it was a nice bag. It was monogrammed. The next date, what did he present me with? The bag that I like. That's my demon time. I gets what I want.
So why didn't that work out, Jade? Please indulge us.
Because again, it is me and not these men. I have a problem and we're working through it in therapy. I think I'm at a point now where I can kind of be a little bit more open, a little bit more ready to receive the good that I deserve. And I was at a point in my life where I was just kind of like, you know, my friends used to tell me that I maneuvered in relationships like men maneuver in relationships. Like my friends would always be like, you are such a man when it comes to relationships. I didn't take none of these guys serious. They weren't, you know, like I just wasn't good. I was not a good person for them. And so I just kept it moving. And because I ended them on such you know, I mean, I'm sure if I reached out, I don't even have his number anymore. But I'm sure if I reached out, you know, if he's not married with children at this point, I'm sure he'd be willing to rekindle, but fly me out. I gets flown out.
Well, since we are on a show called Virgo Season, and a lot of people are going to randomly show up on this website thinking that this is some sort of astrology podcast, this is a little something for them. You're a Virgo, which is an earth sign. Earth signs are mostly compatible with other earth signs and water signs. So water signs, like water replenishes the earth. Earth keeps water grounded. Fire and air, you know, air feeds the fire, you know, so those signs are compatible, and our signs are water and earth. So just something to think about.
And I mean, to even just add on to that, just personal preference, if you are like 6 feet and over and heavily tattooed, you are my type. That's all that other stuff is great, but I like me a tattooed baddie. Okay.
So you want a tall, dude from the Yakuza?
Ooh, yes. With a little bit of danger. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm watching Tokyo Vice on HBO right now.
That's what I'm talking. That's yes. All right. Sign me up. Yes.
Well then, this has been an eventful episode. I know people was getting at me last week because I had to get you together last week. You was all over the place last week.
I just don't understand your disdain for Karma Chameleon.
We are not doing this, all right?
It's going to end up on the playlist,
The email is virgoseasonshow@gmail.com. Y'all emails are floating in. I'm enjoying it. Send more.
If you want to interact with us on the socials, you can find us at Virgo Season Show on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on Lay TikTok. and y'all showing out because y'all definitely started a water war, and I still don't know how that started. But we here for it, you know?
Listen,
you could be team riding, team today with a J, let us know. We can tell you which one won. I'm winning. Just FYI. Forever and ever, ever, and never ever at the Saxon Madiba Suite. Like Mandela, bumping fella on the Puma Jet. Like we from Lagos, Mansa Musa reincarnated. We on our levels, that's a Billy, 1,000 milli. First one to see a B out these housing buildings. I be feeling like Prince in 84, Mike in 79, Biggie in 97, 94, Nas, Ali, Kumbaya, no Kumbaya, just give me the sommelier. I'm on Latage, helmet, when I jet ski. You know the vibes hit my head, forget I'm me. Oh my God, without the God and the XY, I'm afraid the whole game will be colonized. The marathon would be televised in our